have our first two picks, so we will get to those after a word of prayer. Close your eyes and bow your heads, and we'll have a word of prayer and get this road on the show. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this Lord's Day and for the lovely weather. Well, for most of us anyway. I pray you, Lord, please, for your good hand upon us. I know we're light in numbers this morning, but I pray you for Will and Ling and Frank, of course, as well, and Christine and Mary Ann, for Pat and Steve, for Esther, for the McMahons, Lord. I pray your good hand upon all of these souls and the many others that have been and gone and slipped and slid or moved on to bigger and better things, Lord. I just pray your good hand upon each and every one of us, Lord. Please, I pray you work in our hearts and minds. Please comfort us and strengthen us even at this time. And Lord, if we need a wee nudge on the rudder, I pray that you would supply that too. Pray you too for our country. Lord, for all of those, our brothers and sisters that are turning up at church, that are preparing to turn up at church, that are preparing to speak, to preach, Lord, that you would really, really grab a hold of them and inspire them and take away their fear of what men think. And just, Lord, give full counsel of your word. Pray your good hand upon our leaders as well, not just our own country, Lord, but right across the board, that you would greatly convict and constrain, Lord, and point in the right direction. But now, Father, we pray your presence with us. Pray that you would find our praises and prayers and our tithes and offerings and our preaching and teaching and our fellowship, Lord, everything, not only be acceptable in your sight, Lord, but would be exactly what you want it to be. Just love you and thank you. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I know it sounds a bit crazy, but I was just thinking that Christian has cheesecake. He likes cheesecake. Monica has a great way of making cheesecake. I like cheesecake with a little bit of fruit topping, but I'm not going to fall out with anybody because I can't really eat it anymore. And prayers and praises and things is like cheesecake to God. And he likes it in a certain way, and that's the way we should do it. But anyway, that's the way my mind works. 172, love divine, all loves accept.
Sade.
right?
Evermore.
Amen. Norman, are you fit to read, sir?
Come on ahead then.
This morning's reading is from Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whatsoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well, ye did hinder, you that ye should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but be that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offence of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which troubleth me. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by the love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, wherein, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, rebellions, and much like, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in past time, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, and being one another. Amen.
Some good verses there, some good memory verses, the fruit of the Spirit. Reminded me actually very much of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when Paul said the same thing to the church at Corinth. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Alright, just a quick reminder of our prayer list this morning. It is the, oh, this is today, no it's not, this is the last week of our prayer list, isn't it? This is Pat and Steve's connection. Wee girl Sophia has a broken finger. Their neighbour Dolores is still deteriorating. She's had a tough run. I think she had polio whenever she was much younger. It obviously has affected her health. So please do remember that. And an extra prayer request from Will's Connection, that is the Henry family, mourning the loss of a husband and a granddad and a dad as well. So please do pray for the Henry family, if you would at this time. We do miss an awful lot of people. Will rang to tell me he wasn't feeling well. Ling, I think she told us she had a meeting this morning. Pat and Steve just finds it difficult to get going of a morning's work. So sounds like this evening will be our big service this Sunday, but you're still important. I'm glad that you're here. Like I said before, I've had enough of speaking to empty churches. I would also ask that you would pray for my sister-in-law. I don't know if you remember Lynn. That would be Beth and Ben's mom. Her mother is not very well. Had a few health problems and spiritual problems in the family over the years, and she had to go into the hospital for she's been in for 2 months, goodness. So we would appreciate your prayers. I don't even know if they're saved, are they? So please, I would appreciate Lynn's family. That's Lynn Bradfield's family, if you would. I will. There it is. She's on there already, isn't it? Nope.
Yeah, under health, I think.
Yeah. So I would appreciate that. All in that, it's the 4th of July. Happy Independence Day to all of those that worship such things. I think it's a funny thing, but every we'll call them family that's here right now has a connection to the US. So that's cool. Happy Independence Day. Keep praying for your country. And we are commanded to pray for your president. I just want to remind you of one of the verses that Norman was reading there, where Paul said, "I would that they would even be taken away from you." So certainly needs to get saved, but by the same token, there are people that the Lord says he has given over to a reprobate mind. He's dealt with them so many times they have refused. There are many people like that in the world. Please do pray for America, for Britain, certainly, for Northern Ireland, for China, for Canada, for Africa, for Europe, Korea, North and South, Japan, all, goodness, Australia. There's a lot of folks needing a lot of prayer right now. So if you're ever stuck for something to do and you want a wee bit of time in the Lord's presence, you just stick a pin in the map and pray for that country and the leaders of it, and you'll not waste your time. Other than that, please don't forget people's private prayer requests. We know everybody has them. And thanks. I think we put our thanks in pretty much from Wednesday. We've got thanks for the court case, for Steve and his foot getting a bit better, still waiting for some of his test results. John Bradfield's eye surgery, that's grand. And of course the dentist went well, and I've been on holiday ever since. I know it's such a tiny thing, but that's just me. My mother told me whenever, before I could talk or anything, believe it or not, there was a time when I couldn't talk, that they brought me to the doctors to get the one that leaves the scar in the arm. And as soon as the doctor came in, I started crying. And he had the syringe in his hand, and by all accounts, I started crying as soon as the doctor came in. So it's not my fault. It's just in me. Anyway, I'm glad for all the things the Lord sends my way, good and bad, and for the victories over them as well. So, amen. Do continue to pray for Norman. The court case was only the first round in this battle. We're praying that because it went so well, that the rest will slot nicely into place, and all the dominoes will just fall nicely. But please do pray for that. And lastly, don't forget Esther. She has that lump in her tummy. I take it she hasn't decided.
Doctor's due to call on the 19th. So
goodness.
She's softer when her head is
2 weeks away.
So, yeah.
Goodness. Good.
It's the usual 3-monthly call. It should be an appointment, but because of COVID, it's calls.
Yeah. Okie doke. I'll put that over here. here.
Can I have my mum there as well? She has a lump in her throat.
What?
Yeah, she has a lump or a hole in her throat. Something's altering her breathing.
Goodness.
She hasn't gone to the doctor either.
I can't say anything because I nearly went up to heaven not going to the doctors about a year and a half ago, thinking that I would make it. But please do pray for Tina. That's Christy's mom. And please do pray for Esther. Doctor's visit on the 19th. Amen. All right.
Sorry for staying the show, but something like that.
Certainly.
Good to see answers coming through.
Excellent. Okay, is that us? Anybody, anything else you'd like to add? Want to give us something more to talk to the Lord about? No? Okay. I hope you were listening. Would you like to lead us in a wee word of prayer, brother? Thank you.
Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, for your goodness, for every good gift and every blessing, Lord, that comes down from above. Thank you, Lord, that you don't change, Lord, in this world that we're changing things, Lord, that you're our stable, our faithful stay, Lord, our comforter as well. We're guiding this service, be with the preacher, Lord. I pray that you would, Lord, just help him, give heavenly wisdom, power, boldness, Lord, compassion, understanding, Lord, whatever it may be that we need here or he needs this morning. I pray that you provide that, Lord, and you provide our needs as well.
Mm.
With those of the brethren, Lord, that couldn't be here, and I know it's discouraging, Lord, seeing a half-empty church, but Lord, with 2 or 3 of the others, you have promised that you'll be there. So accept of our worship and our praise this morning. Be with us, Lord. Meet each one's needs, Lord, where we're at. We pray for each private prayer request as well, Lord, mm-hmm. for each need situation. Lord, for those in need of a touch of healing, Lord, or a touch of grace, I pray specifically for Nana, Lord, with the lump, Lord, and I pray, Lord, you'd continue to soften her heart and tell the doctor about it as well. The lump my mom's throat as well, Lord, that you would help her go to the doctor, Lord, and just please sort these things out, we pray. For Steve and his troubles, Lord, and Pat as well, Lord, for Pat Haynes, she recovers too, Lord, as well, be with her. For well not feeling good this morning, and for lying wherever she is too, Lord, I pray that you would help her this morning as well. And watch over Frank in London. We remember Leonard in the Magnesium Manor too. Pray for Rita's family and their salvation, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you be with the Henry family and Mormon family as they mourn the loss of a loved one this time as well. Lord, we're thankful for all that you do, Lord, for Norman's victory in the court. We pray the rest would run smoothly. Lord, that you would bless this hour of worship, that you would be with the preacher as he proclaims your word. And Lord, just teach us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for the challenge, brother. For an hour of worship. Amen. Let's take our hymn books out again. Amen. Hymn number 361. We'll remain seated as we sing. Did you think to pray? 361.
Thank you. I'll be satisfied as long
You may be seated. Thank you very much. We're in Jeremiah 14, if you'd like to take your Bibles and turn there this morning. Jeremiah chapter 14. I'm going to be speaking on the subject of traitors every when. Traitors every when. Amen. Traitors every when. It is good to see you. We do appreciate your prayers. And do appreciate the fellowship. It's we have even now in this country, and compared to other places around the world, we still have an awful lot of freedoms that even other places in the Western world don't have, and we should be glad of it. It was only very recently that the south of Ireland, which literally comprised, what, 3/4 of the land of the saints and scholars, just allowed people to go back to church. We live in interesting times. But, amen, we're on Jeremiah 14. It seems like a very serious message. Well, aren't they all? A very serious title this morning. And I pray it will be a help to you. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters, and they came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth, the ploughmen were ashamed and they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places and snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many, we have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Saviour thereof, in the time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision, and a divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. They shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour out their wickedness upon them. That is our reading. Verses 14 and 15 is our text this morning. And we're speaking on the subject of traitors every when. That's right, it's every when. When Monica, I was going to say Monica got a head start in the notes because she pulled them off the printer and she thought I'd made a typo, but that's what it is. It's traitors every when. Let's have another wee word of prayer and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for this little bit of peace and aside from the world. And I pray that you would bless it, Lord, that you would open our understanding, Lord, if there's a wee bit of a hard heart somewhere, an unconfessed sin or something that's holding us back, I pray you, Father, please, that you would reveal it to us this morning. Lord, if maybe you have been working on our hearts and minds about it, I pray you, Lord, please, that you would keep doing that. Keep, don't be done with us, Lord. Keep working on us. Pray for Christy and Taylor as they settle in, as they get to this new normal that they have now as man and wife. I pray you, Lord, please, you'd watch over and keep, and thank you for answered prayers for them. For Norman, for ourselves, for the rest of the folks in the church, Lord, for the helps, Lord, for the fellowships and for the prayers as well. Lord, bless our time together and around your word, and please use it to mold us and shape us the way that you want for us to be. Lord, we really do need you, especially in these last of the last days. And Father, Lord, we just leave these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah is a very interesting book. If it wasn't for the fact that it was written, what, 2.5, nearly 3,000 years ago, you would think that someone was actually reading church newspapers today and telling you about all the things that were going on in the world right now. As we open this portion of God's word, we're well into the book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. In fact, one of the reasons why they thought that the Lord and even John the Baptist were Jeremiah's because they had a great compassion for their people. They literally wept for people. And they went above and beyond, even beyond their own, out of their own comfort zones and up from their couches and their TVs and their cups of tea and packets of biscuits and went out and gave so that people could hear the gospel, gave of their time, gave of their efforts, gave of their lives, even lives, whole lives being changed, so that people could hear the gospel. And at this very moment in time, the Lord has started to work in the land of Israel. It opens with the word of the Lord speaking to Jeremiah about the dearth. And that means about the great lack in the country. We see here the water's drying up. We see like a famine, no grass growing. Even to the very animals themselves, recognizing that stuff was going so badly wrong that the calves were left, the deer, they would just abandon their calves whenever they were born because they knew that it would be at the cost of their own lives to try and rear them. So things are not so good. You would think that whenever the first stripe from God lands on people, that people would start to learn their lessons. I don't know about you. I got smacked a fair few times when I was a child. Probably not as much as I should have. And probably didn't get for things that mum and dad never found out about. But if there was ever 3 or 4 smacks coming my way, I was done by the time I had one. I had learned my lesson already. I did not need the other 3. The first one was enough to change my mind and to bring me to my senses. Sadly, it never happened that way in the days that Moses was extracting the children of Israel from Egypt. It's not going to happen that way, sadly. We know as well from reading Revelation chapter 6 through 16 about the 21 judgments that God is going to send to this world. After they're crying out, they want the boulders to fall on them and they want to hide themselves in the hills and curse the name of God for all these judgments, which are quite rightly coming their way. Anyway, the really sad thing about all this is because of guys like me. It's because the preachers are not filling people in properly. Human beings have a great desire for conformity, for comfort, for just having things the way they always are so that they can use that to step off and do something else. You like to have your home ready so that you can use it and be comfortable in it and who knows do what in it, but it's a separate job. The painting, I'm sure as Christy and Taylor are finding out, the painting and the furniture and the preparation and setting one area aside for this and another area for something else so that you can start to live your life. It's not all about the preparations. And It's certainly, at this point, Jerusalem, the children of Israel, have not been helped by the men that God had set to one side to prepare people to be his people. They really had dropped the ball. One of the things that the Lord actually mentions is that the people love to wander. And on the same token, whilst we like our foundations to be sure, we love new things as well. But only as long as they suit us. And sadly, the suiting us tends towards sensation and self-profit and things like that. And as we get to our actual text verses this morning, probably 13, 14 and 15, where the word of God says, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see sword or famine, but ye'll have peace in this place. And the Lord said, These prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and a divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. Sword and famine shall consume those prophets." And I'm paraphrasing there a little bit. That's Jeremiah 14, 13, 14, and 15, according to the Gospel of Mark Bradfield, with a few of the words left out. We live in those days. Those are the very days that we live in right now. The preachers, they stand up and say, even though things are starting to go wrong, they tell people everything will be okay. And surely we have seen that for generations. Sometimes it takes a great disaster to bring people to the foot of the cross. I am sure the last great disaster might have been the Second World War, or maybe the Falklands War, or who knows. I am sure there are sections of society who send loved ones off to fight battles for whom this is very real, and prayer is a very real and present thing. But the vast majority of people in the Western world, and right away across the world, don't believe it, don't want it. They want the ease, they want the profit, they want the gadgets, they want the entertainment, they want the accumulation of wealth and things, of lands and houses. They want the drunkenness and the forgetfulness. They want the keep fittedness and the long lifedness. They want the things that they think they do deserve, but they're going looking for them in the wrong places. And the thing that really irks me, there used to be a time whenever you could point to a certain church and you could say, that church is definitely leading people to hell by the truckload. It's every church now. There are men that stand up in independent Baptist churches that have nothing but devilment on their hearts and minds. There was a man that stood across the town. An independent Baptist missionary, Travis Snowd, that did his best to destroy another independent Baptist work in Limavady because they had £20,000 in the bank and he wanted it. And that is the whole of the story. He brought another pastor in to close it down. He closed it down. The money all disappeared. And there were threats, there were drunkards and adulterers set up as deacons in the church. And this is what we're dealing with in the independent Baptist movement. And even when their mission board was challenged, all I got was, my wife was really upset about that. I said, well, why do you do it then? He threatened members of his congregation. I used to do boxing. And I had to say to them, well, I used to do martial arts. I could kill you four ways before you could move, but you don't hear me boasting about it. It's not a thing to boast of, and it's not a thing to threaten people with. And yet we have this in the independent Baptist movement, and this is what we think is supposed to be the very, very best. We haven't changed. This could be written about the churches today. The ex-moderator of the Presbyterian Church, he's the guy that sits in the big chair, he's the figurehead for a year, he was holding heavy metal concerts in his church. And they had people with stewards to make sure that nobody got into it with drink. Why would you even think of going to a church function with drink? Unless, of course, it was a heavy metal concert and people drink and do drugs at heavy metal concerts. This is what we have. A man even from Portadown, David Baird, the ex-leader of the Baptist Church up there in the Waterside. A wishy-washy pansy of a preacher that had a church full of lost people at the wedding of another lost girl, and he never preached the gospel. The same for some of the independent Methodist Church of the Nazarene. I was just speaking to a lady yesterday about a wee girl that was part of a family of children that came to the church about 20 years ago. Only the wee girl got saved. And it was only the wee girl that was killed in a road accident a year or two later. And yet the minister that took her funeral didn't even know that she was saved. Had a church, hundreds of school children and family members, most of which were not saved and he never preached the gospel. We live in these days. The Presbyterian Church doesn't know its left hand from its right hand. The Methodist Church, they teach you can lose your salvation. The Catholic Church is mentioned in the Bible. It is the mother of harlots. And all of these churches stand preaching lies, telling people it'll all be okay. There'll be no judgment that'll fall to you. Just do the best that you can. And, you know, after a Friday night or a Saturday night when you've been out drinking and carousing and carrying on, as long as you come to Mass, come to church the next morning and put your money in the plate and give your face a wipe and put on a clean shirt and a tie and even rub your shoes. This is a trick, men. You rub your shoes in the back of your legs to put a wee polish on the toes. As long as you do that, that's a real thing, Krista. I do it all the time when I come to church. I check my shoes whenever I'm down at church far away from polished brushes. As long as you do that, you can get your tarot cards read, you can get your palm read, you can spend your whole weekend checking the horoscopes for who you should speak to and how you should address people and what sort of form you should be in. As long as you turn up at church and put your money on the plate, they don't give two monkeys. Everything will be okay. You know what the Bible said? The very things that these preachers should be warning the people about are refusing to are the very things that are going to destroy these preachers. Let allowing people to... Goodness, we have been doing, yes, and it's not a fault, it's just the way it is right now. We have been doing a lot of messages in the Old Testament this past month or two. It just happens to be where, at the moment, the most interesting reading is for me. And every time the Lord said, look, if you get mixed up with the gods of the lands and their bad habits, it's not going to go well for you. And it doesn't, friends. You're bought with a great price, with the shed blood of God Almighty himself incarnated in the flesh, who took 33 years. I would say if God could point to his most troubled years, he would point to those 33 years where he waded neck deep in sin every day of his life for 33 years. Spoke to, begged, pleaded, did miracles for, raised the dead, controlled the weather and even the animals and even the very fabric of matter itself when he reproduced a little boy's lunch thousands of times to feed the 5,000 plus women and children twice. And he spent that time here and gave his life for us. My goodness, if it had been me, I would have been glad to be away back home and never come back again. And I might even have skipped the cross in between. He did that for us. Because there are dire consequences for neglecting the word of God for everybody, Christian and lost alike. The dire consequences for the Christian are the ruination of a testimony and a life lived without God's fellowship. Without his power and without his guidance, without his provision and protection and comfort and peace. The dire consequences for a lost soul ignoring the word of God are horrible. In Luke 16, who I think Norman or Will read it there last week, we read about people being in torment day and night and all they want is a wee taste of water. I was going to say the people in Ireland might actually do better in hell. They might be glad of the heat and the dry after their lives spent in an island where it never quits raining, but I doubt it. And the Bible says it's going to be worse by the time they're chucked into the lake of fire. I would say the worst time for them is that what they think is relief before they're put before the great white throne of judgment and then their sins read out to them and chucked into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are already and the devil too, yeah. No, not yet. But it's not looking good. These preachers are still saying that everything is okay. How can they? When their churches, they're still afraid to preach the gospel, to say there is a reason for our country being in the state that it's in today. There is a reason that sex clubs have no problem opening up in the middle of our towns. There is a reason why off licenses in supermarkets and even off licenses as they stand by themselves were one of the first things that people cried out to have open. Did they even shut? I don't think they did. Why is that? Because people have given themselves over to drunkenness and over to pleasures and sensation and self-profiting. People are so lazy, generally speaking, that they're more content to sit on their backsides and let the government give them the money, the COVID payments, than they are to go back to work. And the news is now full of businesses and going concerns that can't get people to work anymore. And these are crucial ones. HGV drivers and who would have ever thought a lorry driver? Who wouldn't think of that ignorant gulp in there that does nothing but sit in his backside all day and then sit in a cafe getting his big filled sodas? Whoever would have thought the well-being of the country would fall to his shoulders? And preachers are still saying, oh, it's okay. Whenever dear lost souls step off into eternity and the preacher preaches that it's all okay. Whenever little children are going into the furnaces, still we haven't changed. It was condemned by God in the Old Testament. It was a sign of a pagan country when people offered up their children to Molech, and still they do it. Last count, about 2 weeks ago, was 2,000 children were murdered in Northern Ireland. That is more than would fill most schools in Northern Ireland. That would fill nearly 2 schools in Northern Ireland. They were murdered. Their little bodies were thrown into furnaces, the bits that they couldn't sell. And we think we're moving forward. And still the ministers say, everything's going to be fine. There's going to come a day when that minister, one of his children, has an abortion. And one of his grandchildren goes into the furnace. There is going to be a day when one of his sons shacks up with another man. And there will be no grandchildren. There's going to come a day when one of their children will die with hepatitis or AIDS because of drugs. Because they kept telling everybody everything is okay. It's not. And the Bible says over and over again that if you think that you can put hot coals into your bosom and not be burned, you're fooling yourself. There are consequences, Christian, for people not living the way God wants them to live. And there are consequences for the lost souls. We live in awful days, and still the traitors in the pulpit, having their form of godliness but denying the power thereof, still, they tickle people's ears and still the people give them their money and tell them that was a great message this morning. I feel really justified. I mean, pacified. What is it that I really feel? I feel that everything will be okay because of that great message. Because you told me that just by doing the best that I can, I'll go to heaven. I feel really good about that. Because I put a lot of money on the plate and I go to the Masonic Club and I give them money. And I go to the golf, the Rotary Club and I give them money and I turn up faithfully. And I go to their big dinners. Everything will be okay. No, it won't. It's a strange thing. We don't do much preaching from Amos. It's probably my fault because I'm the preacher. But there's a great verse in it in Amos 8 that says that the Lord would send a famine in the land, not of food or water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. We saw what the famine in the land did to the wild creatures. It just threw them completely off of what their normal routine should be, and it'll do the same to people. There's not one thing that the world runs after and craves after that's actually good for you. Multiple relationships, substance abuse, thrills and spills. All of those things are bad for you. To constantly pursue thrills and spills means that you won't be able to pursue a contented life because you're always looking for that adrenaline jag. We live in the generation of you deserve and I deserve and the world owes us. We're literally like short-tempered children throwing tantrums if we don't get our own way straight away. And the reason for that being is that we're spiritually anorexic and malnourished. I'm not speaking about anybody in particular. I'm talking about us as a creature. We spend all of our youth and vitality pursuing all of those things that God gives for free. Purpose, contentment, joy, eternal life. God gives those for free. They're there for the child of God. And the sad thing about it is, this message won't be popular in any, just about any church in the land. Because most of the folks would probably choke and die if they had to swallow it. The thing about it is, there's nothing new under the sun. This was preached 2,500+ years ago, and we haven't changed a bit. We still have this desire for new things, for shiny objects. And if people show us a good time or invite us out to a place that we've never been before and people are wearing beautiful clothes or as they do in these day and ages, hardly any at all, we think it's great. And we have lumped our identities and the things that we think are important in with the world, the flesh and the devil. Instead of throwing our lot in with Jesus Christ. I know that there are many instances in the Word of God where Christians did, and when I say Christians, I don't mean people that go to church. I mean people that love the Lord, have trusted Him as Savior, and are obeying Him, are doing what the Lord asked them to do. And I know that almost seems like that's awful. We have to obey God because we live in the land of the free, and yet so many people are in bondage to addiction and sensation and thrills and fashions and one thing and another. We don't like that word obey very much. There's a bit of us that just twists whenever we're told to obey. But that bit of us we can bring under control. The Lord says we can. The Bible says that the old nature will obey the new nature if you make it. If you put your shoulder to the grindstone, put a bit of effort into it. But it's difficult. The churches of today, I read, where did I hear? Was there a church? Was it being pulled down? Was it being re-something or other? And they found like nearly 1,000, the bodies of 1,000 little babies in a nunnery. Or one of those places. A priory or whatever they're called. 1,000. And this was, and they've been there years, maybe even centuries. Just thrown in the ground, thrown away. And we think, oh, that's awful, but nobody stands outside the abortion clinic and says the same. Because that's a part of our freedoms. It's no wonder. I remember speaking to many as a Roman Catholic person in this town, the things that the priests got up to. And the Protestant ministers used to take great delight in pointing to the priests and all of their wickedness. But you know what? I'm probably going to get a few of the details wrong and I'm not giving any names. But there was a man that was a dentist. Had an affair with another man's wife and organized to kill the wife and the husband of the two partners that were in the way. And these folks were both churchgoers. I think they went to the Baptist church. Because the guys like me standing behind the pulpit are afraid to stand up and speak out. They're afraid of ending up with a church service with 4-5 people in it of a morning. They are. They're afraid of having to cut down their holidays to 1 foreign holiday a year. Just shows you what the Lord can do. He can cut them all down to no foreign holidays in a year. They're afraid of not being able to change their car for 4 years instead of every 2 or 3. The Lord said, don't be afraid of man that can only destroy the body, but be very afraid of him that can destroy the body and soul in hellfire. People are being fed a diet of toleration. You know that? A diet of toleration. It's good to be tolerant. It's good to be patient. But it's not good to be tolerant of sin, and it's not good to be patient of, or should I say, to wait for a convenient time to get rid of it in our lives. And sadly, many times the sin that comes into our lives comes in on 2 legs, with 2 arms and a face that we love. And we may have to say, look, I love you, but I'm not going to have any of that in my house. One of 2 things is going to happen. Either you're not going to come back, or you're not going to bring that back into my house. It's the way it has to be. Oh, but you shouldn't judge. Every single convenience that we have in our world today is because judgments are made, sometimes millions of them every second. And we love them. And we buy new ones every 2 or 3 years. And all they do is sit there and make decisions every second of every nanosecond. Those little bits of black plastic that we put so much store by are making decisions. That's what it's all about. They make all the decisions and we abstain from making any at all. We're supposed to countenance false religion. Did you know even our home base, our garden centres will sell you statues of Buddha or the Hindu goddesses that you can put in your garden or put in your mantelpiece? Did you know the same little shop that will sell you a phone cover will also sell you an angel so that you can worship the host of heaven? Which you're not supposed to do. We live in and we're supposed to say, oh, that's wonderful. We're so inclusive. Do you know why we're having the problems that we have today? It's because we're so inclusive. We're so laid back and so open-minded. I think most of our brains have fallen out. A fella used to say, what was it? He's so laid back, he has trouble seeing over his pelvis. And he's so cool, you could hang a side of beef on him for a month. But that's our problem. We have refused to get upset or angry about anything. We have refused to stop sinning. We keep sinning. What does the Bible say? Be angry and sin not. We have invited the pagan in at every turn. And we have called them brothers and sisters. What did God say about that in the Bible? He said, if you do that, I'm going to sort you out. When you invite the pagan in and call them brother or sister, give in marriage to them or take in marriage from them, all that you're going to do is bring trouble to yourself. It brought about the trouble that Nehemiah was preaching about. It brought about the trouble that was even evident when Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilt Jerusalem. Whenever they opened the Bible, and this is the thing, they found the Word of God. There was one big copy, and the stuff that had been passed down to Ezra and to Nehemiah, the stuff that had been told them by their mums and their dads as they lived for God. But they found one copy of the Bible, and they started reading it, and they wept. They suddenly realized, hold on a wee second. A, we have let God down. B, we're under a threat or fear of judgment of God. We have abandoned him. And we need to get back to it. I love preaching against preachers. I really do. Because everybody in the congregation gets a rest and I end up giving myself a hard time. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4, and I always say 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Peter 3, that's your one for free. Learn those two verses and there, or learn one of those references and you've pretty much got them both, but it talks about the last days. And it talks about, I'll just read them. 2 Timothy 3. You'll have to read it. I'm going to be reading the first 6 or 7 verses for you. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." It doesn't say, oh, well, we'll see how he goes or she goes, and maybe if they're not doing it the way we like it, we'll ask them to straighten up. It doesn't say that. It just says to get rid of them. Ditch them. It never says make sin your friend. It always says make no provision for the flesh thereof. Make no provision. Don't leave any avenue open in your life for sin, because it always comes in mob-handed. It never comes back by itself. It always comes in with 7 more mates, and the last case of the person's worse than the first. It says, don't give it a toehold. Don't leave the door open at that. Nail it where it is. That's God's command to us. God visited awful judgment in the children of Israel in David's day for David's sin, for making such a grand fool of God and the children of Israel. God said he would take the kingdom away from the line of David, but not in his generation, not even in Solomon's generation, but in Solomon's son's generation. And the problem that we have is also the tail end of God's blessings. We have amazing freedom in Northern Ireland. We do. Amazing freedom. We don't have to carry an ID. We can go anywhere and do anything as long as we're not hurting people or making a nuisance of ourselves. We don't have to even have to explain ourselves to the police. Police stopped me the other day and says, do you have any ID? Sorry, I don't, but I can give you my driving license number. One of those strange numbers that I have memorized in my head. He says, that's odd, there's not many people do that. He says, it's just one of those things. And I said, hold on a second. He was about to wave me on, and I thought, you know what, I think I actually do have my driving license, it's in the boot. He says, no, it's okay, off you go. You can do whatever you want. And do you know why we have this freedom? Do you know why it was such a big shock to us for the abortion clinics to open? Do you know why it was such a slap in the face to God's people that gay marriage was introduced in this country? Is because we were still living on the tail end of God's blessings in this country. We have not yet gone hammers and tongs down that slippery slope that leads to the broad road, which leads to destruction. I can hardly imagine that was once the beacon of the gospel preaching, missionary sending, center of the world, is in the state that it's in today. Where Moloch is worshipped, where pagans are glorified, where anti-Christianity is legal, and where God's people that are the foundation and the cornerstone and the pillars of our society are ridiculed and made little of at every turn. That's my fault. And it's the fault of all the other guys like me that are not prepared to stand up and be counted and to suffer the ridicule and to live the hard life and to walk out and have a smile on their face and be glad that God chose them for the service. Being a man of God is not a call anymore. It's a career, just like being a policeman. It's a career. One that you can get out of after 10 years or 15 years with a good pension and still have the rest of your life to live, still only being your maybe mid to late 30s. Still have a whole life ahead of you with a great police pension. These are the days that we live in. There's going to come a day whenever God's doing his tally of all the biggest murderers in this world, and people, who do we think of? say Hitler, don't we? And then maybe if we go down the line or two, we'll say Stalin. Maybe Mussolini. There's going to be a lot of American presidents up there. There'll be Trump. There'll be Biden. There'll be Bush. All the men that could have stopped the carnage in the abortion clinics in America. There's going to be the likes of Xi Jinping. The people that have just mysteriously disappeared by the million in China. But there's going to be preachers up there too. The boys and girls that were in charge of pointing people to the straight and narrow road that leads to life, but instead just let them wander down the broad road that leads to destruction. And no, they didn't take a knife and they didn't cut their throats and leave a pool of blood in the church. But they might as well have done. They murdered and sent to hell souls by the billion. Souls that they were responsible for. And these are the days that we live in. We might never see justice in this world, but I can guarantee you, justice and consequences will be coming their way. I think maybe the first time that people will see things clearly in their lives is when they're dead. When they open their eyes in hell being in torments. Or for those that maybe make it right the way through and don't step off into eternity until the fire comes down from heaven, until they stand in front of the great white throne of judgment and realize for the first time just exactly what it is that they have done and just exactly where it is that they are going. Sometimes there's no Hollywood ending. Sadly, there's not going to be a Hollywood ending for many people. Everybody is not going to live happily ever after with their 2.4 children and their dog and their white picket fence and a little house in the country with a veg patch and a few chickens running around the yard. Although some days I don't think that's heavenly at all. There's going to be difficult times. There's going to be hardships. But don't avoid them. There's many times the phrase "lean into it" has just been on the tip of my tongue the past few days and weeks. Lean into it. Don't avoid it. Lean into it and put a bit of effort behind it and overcome the hardship. Take the difficulty on the chin. Yes, if you have to grind your teeth, grind your teeth, but ask the Lord to help you with that. There's going to be so many that will not change. And you and I can't do that. We can't do anything except show them in our own lives what difference it is that God makes to the soul that loves him. I'm not interested, to be quite honest with you, in the label in front of the church. The Lord said, "Thy word have I magnified above thy name." The name in the front of the church doesn't mean a thing these days. It's the word that's preached from the pulpit. It's the standards that are stuck to. It's the deeds that are done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the way we live and the direction that we point. Those are the things that are important. A great little verse that I think there's at least one or two kids' songs that are made on it from Matthew chapter 5. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That's what we need to do. This could be the best message I ever preach. This could be the last message I ever preach. But it's not going to affect all those people that never hear it. Maybe it doesn't even affect you. It might not even affect me. Well, it has affected me. But people are only going to hear the bits that you carry out. They're only going to hear the bits of sermons that you carry out from here. They're only going to hear the bits of the Bible that you carry out from wherever it is you read your Bible. They're only going to carry out the convictions that you get, that you carry out, that you get in prayer and in the presence of God Almighty. And whilst there are traitors every when and everywhere in the pulpits, you don't have to be. We can run God's colours up the old flagpole. Remember they used to do that? The old skull and crossbones would go up and people used to run for cover. used to turn their ships in the opposite direction and head for safety. When we run our colours up the mast, people should be heading to us and not away from us. People need to see God work in your life because they've got so many bad examples. They need to see God helping you overcome your difficulties because they have, again, so many bad examples. And we're all going to face these things. And they need to see the Christian joy in your life that no matter what you're going through, remember this, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a home in heaven, a mansion in heaven waiting for you. There is a new and a glorified body waiting for you. That's in heaven right now. You have Jesus Christ fighting your corner every time the accuser of the brethren comes pointing the finger at you. You have God Almighty, your Father in heaven, dispatching legions of angels to minister to you. And I am sure some of us could put whole legions to work. We have the promise of a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The wisdom and the words when we dare to open our mouth in defense of the faith. And for every single thing that we leave behind or that is taken from us, we have something that God has. It's 100 times better. So yep, there are liars and thieves in the pulpit, compromisers, people sending people to hell by the bass, the boatload. But don't you be. Don't you be. There used to be a time whenever they would take and execute traitors. Isn't that right? They would line them up and shoot them. Because they were nothing but trouble. They looked like they were supposed to be fighting for the cause, but they were actually working actively against the cause. And that's a serious thing to say about anybody that claims to be working for God. But that's between God and them. Their deeds will show themselves and we will find out and then we have decisions to make. But stick with the stuff. Keep on keeping on. Trust in the Lord that gave his life for you 2,000 years ago. And he will give you everything that you need to live this life and to get through it. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. Oh, for your attention. God bless you. Closing hymn from the back. Anybody? Don't have to be shy. We're all friends here. We already had hymns from the front and one from the pulpit.
What
is it? Till the storm passes by. Amen. Let's stand and sing. 119.
In the dark of the midnight, have I often my on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky.
A good time and attention. God bless you. Safe travels. Are you for way up the country again? Good for you. Well, safe travels and have a good afternoon, and we look forward to, Lord willing, a much fuller service this evening. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time in your presence, for your word, for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, and for your Son Christ Jesus, and Lord, for an open ear for us at any time. Please look out for us as we go today. I pray you, Lord, this evening for a good time of fellowship and preaching and teaching and singing and praising and praying. And we look forward to that. Bless us and keep us and watch over us, Lord. And I pray you speak to loved ones' hearts and souls and minds about getting saved, Lord, that don't yet know you. And those that do, please edify and strengthen and lift up. We ask this in our private prayer requests, Lord, and thank you for answered prayers. And all of these things, Lord, we bring before you in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you again.